many of you know, by the last few Sundays, I've been speaking a little bit about how wonderful and glorious God's salvation plan is. You know, the Bible could not have been written by man. It's impossible that man in his mind could write a book, the Bible, that is so wonderful and magnificent. We couldn't have done it. God tells us that he wrote the Bible. God, Holy Spirit, moved as he breathed, so to speak, and caused men to write these things. God put the words in their mouth. Or all they did was just hold the pen and God was moving it. So everything that we read in the Bible in the original Greek and Hebrew is from the very mouth of God. And the salvation plan could not have been designed by man. God designed it. And you know, by nature, as you know, that we don't like God's salvation plan. We don't like it because it's offensive to us. But when God has opened our spiritual eyes to the wonders and truths of the Bible, we begin now to see how wonderful it is, and we glorify God for such a wonderful salvation that he has provided for us. And we're not deserving of it. You know, and we want to go on to speak a little bit about more about this wonderful salvation plan. You know, God's salvation plan is eternal. When he saves us, when he saved that person whom he has elected to salvation, this person is saved forevermore. Salvation is an eternal thing. Many people believe that if you're saved some way, somehow you could lose your salvation. They don't understand what salvation is. They don't understand the nature of salvation. When somebody is truly saved, they are saved forever. It's eternal. You cannot lose your salvation. You see, it's impossible. It's impossible for a true believer to lose their salvation. And when you start to think about the wonderful promises that God has given to us, that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he goes on in Romans 8 to list all these things that will never separate us from the love of God. We're eternally secured in Christ. Nothing will ever come between that. And look at John 10. Let's look at some verses. And there's many, many, many verses that you could go to see that when we're saved eternally. In John 10, verse 20, let's start reading at verse 24 of John 10. John 10, verse 24, he says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works which I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, which is God's people, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. All God's people are known to him from way back in eternity. He knew us. He elected us to salvation. You see, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Not one of us is deserving of it. He give unto us eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can snatch us away from God. Nothing. We are eternally saved forevermore. Wow. Eternally saved. He will never lose one of his. It says, and verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." See how God, he repeats himself in that one verse. No one could able to snatch us away from God. We are eternally secured in Christ. And he goes on, "I and my Father are one." And verse 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." See, they were offended at him, what he was saying. And so many today are offended at it. They're not going to do what the Jews did, But many are insisting that you can lose your salvation. No, it is not possible. You could lose something you never had. You never had it, then you could lose it. But when God, Holy Spirit, comes into a person and indwells that person, think about it. It's God that comes and lives within that person. How can we possibly lose our salvation? It's an impossible thing. You see, let's look at another verse. Turn over to John 17. John 17. Let's start reading at verse 1. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. See, God's salvation program, you know, what Christ came to do is glorifying God. The people who he has saved for himself is to the glory of God. God's salvation program is for his glory. It's not for us. Why he did it to see something good in us. No, it's to the glory of God why he saved a people for himself. And he goes on, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. See, we were given to Christ by God the Father. As he came into the world to demonstrate what he already had done, is to the glory of God. And he says there that we were given to Christ by God the Father, all his elect from throughout the whole world, all those who are coming into as he has saved. In verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. Here's Christ speaking of how he glorified God on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And God goes on. So you see, we are eternally saved by God. We take comfort in that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And how wonderful that is, that we're eternally secured in Christ. And you turn over to Acts chapter 13, it's the same idea. Acts chapter 13, begin verse 45. The book of Acts chapter 13, verse 45, he says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes which were filled, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing he put it away from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And going down a little bit further, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All the God's elect were ordained to eternal life. It is a gift of God. You know, remember we read in Romans, go back over to Romans 6. Remember that very familiar verse? One of the second most popular, in my opinion, verse in the Bible, in Romans 6:23. Let's read it. God tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. And it's through whom? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal. Salvation is an eternal thing. Can't lose it. You're saved forevermore, those who of us who are truly saved. Remember, God, Holy Spirit comes within us. Remember, he's done all the work of saving us, so how can you possibly lose your salvation? He's the one who had to take away the stony heart from us and give us a heart of flesh, and he has to do all this work in us. And spiritually, we're dead. We're wicked human beings before God has saved us. So God get all the praise and the glory for saving his people. You cannot take one little ounce of credit. If you do that, you turn the grace of God into a works gospel. You see, and God, he's the one who should get all the glory and praise for saving anyone. Look at Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, which righteousness is Christ, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we get that eternal life through Christ. It's by him that he has done all this. So where does that leave us? Can't take any credit for anything, because God is the one who saves. Turn over to Titus. And when you begin to look at this in the Bible, there's just so many, many, many verses. God has given abundance of evidence to us that he has given to his people life eternal. Life eternal. In Titus chapter 1, let's really start reading in verse 1 up to verse 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. When you look at hope, you know, hope is Christ. It's not our hope. Hope really is Christ himself. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. See, when he has promised this to his people, before the world began, that he has promised us life eternal, or eternal life. You see, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. And you look at other parts in the Bible, it is an impossible thing for God to lie. He can't do that. You see, promised them before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You see, who's our Savior? It is God. God our Savior. You see, Christ our Savior is the same. Christ is God. You see. And go down to, I believe, go over to chapter 3, Titus, verse 7. It says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And we're joint heirs with Christ. You read Romans 8:16. God tells us that we're joint heirs with him. But what is Christ's are ours. He's given to us. Undeserving though we be, God has given to us. Remember, God tells us his pleasure to give us the kingdom. You know, when God has saved us, now we're coming to the most wonderful, stupendous, magnificent blessing ever. There's nothing more greater than salvation. Nothing. You could win the lottery, tens of millions, you could whatever. It doesn't come, holds a candle to the wonderful blessing of salvation. Because the salvation that God has given to us is eternal. Things in this world, as we know, is temporal. It's temporary. When you die, you can't take it with you. I've yet to see anybody take it with them. You lose these things. Or a storm could come in your area and your house are destroyed, or whatever the case might be. You could lose these things, but salvation, no. You're truly saved. You're saved forevermore. Look over to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, I believe. 1 John. We read in verse 1, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, that and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And all that was manifested to us through Christ. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, when God has saved us, God has given us a joy that the true believers, although we're living in this life and trials and tribulation may come, but God has given the true believers a deep-rooted joy in their heart to know that this world is a veil of tears, no matter how, you know, we're not here permanently. It's a veil of tears. And at the end of it, joy in heaven, where there will be no more trials and tribulation anymore, because he has given to us eternal life. This world, this life in this world is very, very brief, but for a moment, compared to eternity. And we continue to wait upon the Lord. We wait, because this world, but, you know, I can't believe that I'm this age already. You know, where did time go? Time flies. But when you look at eternity, it's worth it to wait upon the Lord. It's worth it all. You know, it's worth it. What can I tell you? God's word is true. So we continue to wait upon him. Look at John chapter 5, verse 10. Same book, John chapter 5, verse 10. Here we read, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, which is, you know, the Holy Spirit. That's witnesses with our spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave unto his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Everything is through Christ. This eternal life that God has given to us is in Christ. And God is eternal. Christ is God. You see, so this salvation, this life, this eternal life that God has given to us is in Christ. And you can never lose that. You see. And verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. If you're born again, you have the Son of God, and God has given you eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If you truly saved, you know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And over in verse 17, here in the same chapter, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And just read through the whole thing there in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that ye may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. You see how God stands. He is in us, and we are in him, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So God is just going overboard to tell us that we are eternally secured in him. And all glory goes to God. We can't take a credit, no credit at all, of this wonderful salvation which he has given to us. You see the same idea here in Psalm 125. And all of this is to the glory of God. Psalm 125. Start reading verse 1. Psalm 125. They that trust in Jehovah shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. In mountain, the Bible is the kingdom, but abideth forever. You know, God's salvation, His kingdom is forevermore. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so Jehovah is round about His people from henceforth even forever. God is around His people. He said He surrounds them by a wall of fire. And how can we possibly lose that? How can we lose our salvation? And notice, all of this is the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What assurance He has given to His people that God Himself has done this. We're not deserving of it. And there's so many verses in the Bible that God tells us that He has saved us for His own glory, and all glory must go to Him. Can't enter into that. He went to the cross all by Himself. He paid for our sins before the foundation of the world. He's done it all. And what an assurance. Let's stop here. Just trying to get an early start today. It's a short Sunday. We're trying to leave by 1 o'clock. But let's pray as we end. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this salvation which You have given to us. Lord, we're not deserving of it. There's not one reason what any of Thy people could say, this is the reason why You saved me. No, we're all an unclean thing. We're all deserving of Thy wrath and to be destroyed forever. Oh Lord, we're not deserving of it. Oh Lord, may all praise and glory go to Thee for Thy great mercy and Thy compassion. Oh Lord, I'm so thankful that You have done this. Because it was up to us, we will never come to Thee of our own accord. You have to do all the work and the drawing and the working in us. And oh Lord, may all praise and glory go to Thee for Thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.